together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Oh, something good is bound to happen. Something good.
Tonight, I will remember our pastor as he's away, that the Lord will just give him safety and watch over him and guide him. Also, Sister Vicki Tidwell, I think she went for another checkup, and they said that the cancer has gotten more aggressive. And so that's the way the devil does. He just gets more aggressive, but he don't know what he's up against. He's against our God, and he's going to lose every time. So, but we will remember her tonight. Also, praise report, Brother Greg called me, I believe it was yesterday, and went to the doctor for a checkup on his eyes, and he said they were like at 90%, said the doctors were totally amazed and couldn't believe it. He said, well, I'm not, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. The great physician gave him a visitation, and we're just so thankful for that tonight. So if you have something on your heart, just make it known by an uplifted hand. God sees what our needs are in the service tonight. Brother Jonathan, come lead us in prayer.
How many's happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. I tell you, we had a wonderful weekend. I tell you, we've had calls and texts and DMs, as they call them, from just about all of them that came, of how God blessed them. And I tell you what, it was wonderful that God moved in the way that he did. And we truly enjoyed it, truly appreciated it, and appreciate all those that helped. And I wrote it down. So if I wrote it down wrong, y'all forgive me. Brother Joseph, Sister Deanna, Brother Joseph, all that he does for everything that we do in this church, and Sister Deanna right there on him, doing everything that she can. Brother Pat, Sister Denise, Brother Chris and Sister Audrey, Brother Kobe, Sister Kaylee, Brother Cameron, Sister Bethany, Brother George and Sister Brandy, Brother Josh and Sister McCaden, Brother Mark and Sister Kelly, and Sister Ashley and Sister Amber was just integral parts too, and my wife. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? So we can't do it without a team. And God's gave us a team here. And in addition, our musicians, Sister Wanda, Sister Brenda, Brother Kobe, Brother Cameron, Brother Mark, appreciate them so much for what they've done and sacrificed their weekend to be here to help us and support. And then they never get recognized, but our sound room back there, Brother Sam, Sister Ashley, Sister Laura, they come out of their way and made it a point to be here. And we're so appreciative. And if I missed anybody, y'all whoop me later. But we truly appreciate all the help. There's no way it could have happened without a single one of you. And we all had plenty to do, but hopefully we're rested up and we can have church tonight. So let's just go to him in prayer. Let's prepare our hearts, and how many can receive a blessing tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly love you, Lord. Lord, you visited us in such a way this weekend, Lord, and testimony after testimony come, Lord, that you're still an on-time God, Lord. You're still a living God, Lord. You hadn't forgotten your bride, Lord, though it seems sometimes when situations we feel all alone, but you're right there with us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're so appreciative, Lord. We thank you so much tonight, Lord. And Lord, tonight as we lift these needs up and Lord, our pastor away, Lord, we ask you to be with him, strengthen him in his body, Lord, give him wisdom, Lord, that, Lord, even surprises him, Lord, as, Lord, he would have to do, Lord, that he could do it in your word and do it in your will, Lord. And Brother Greg, Lord, what a testimony, but, Lord, we're not happy with 90%. We're happy with 100%. Lord, continue to move on his body, upon his eye, Lord. Bring him into fullness, Lord, and let it be in black eye to the devil that once again you lost the battle, you devil. And Lord Jesus, Sister Vicky tonight, Lord, sung around this world, Lord, singing of your name, Lord, a testimony truly spread, Lord, and here's the devil attacking her again. But Lord, nothing's too great for you, Lord. We ask you to move upon the scene, even as we pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. You would give comfort and peace, Lord, that you would give a healing touch, Lord, in a special way. All of the hands, Lord, you see every need in this church. Lord, you see what we have need of tonight, Lord. We ask you to be with Brother Mark, Lord, to stir us up once more, Lord. And Lord, let us get behind him and worship and prepare ourselves, Lord, and touch Brother George, Lord, and move the nervousness aside, Lord. Let me move his thoughts aside. May you speak through a vessel tonight and touch each one in this building, Lord. Lord, we give you the honor. We give you the praise. Come be with us, Lord. Receive the worship. In your lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Well, just in case he didn't, I'm going to say Sister Brandy, because she worked. We don't know how to say thank you for the wedding, too. I've never seen so many people come together and work so hard. Lord, just make a way for me to repay you one of these days somehow is all I can say. It was absolutely beautiful, and I appreciate everything everybody done for us. Amen. I'd like to tell the devil tonight, there was a story my mom sent me a while back. It really wasn't a story, but it was like a, I don't know, something they were sending around on Instagram. It was somebody saying, it's Friday. The devil thinks he has the victory, and he's defeated God, and all this, but he would say, but Sunday's coming. So tonight we want to say, but Sunday's coming, devil. Amen. And God is, he's on the move this tonight. And let's sing this, Oh, I Want to See, A flat.
Oh, and as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord, he leads me on, and through him I must win. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to see forever of his saving grace. Will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. Oh, but my Lord goes ahead and he leads wherever betide. Before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then the Lord directs my bark and he does safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, and he's a real friend to me, and I love him so. Yes, oh, I want to see him, look up on his face, there to see
seen. He's a real friend to me, and I love him so, and I'm so thankful for him tonight. Let's sing this. Still struggling a little bit with my voice after the weekend, so bear with me. Let's sing together. Oh, tempted and tried, we're all meant to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And while there are others, they're living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. And then do we wonder why others prosper when they're living so wicked year after year? Let's sing it now. Oh, and farther along we'll know all about. Farther along we'll understand why. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And when we see Jesus come in glory, and when he comes from here, then we'll understand it all by and by. Oh, and if you ever needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now. You sure do need him now. You sure do need him now. If you ever needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now. And you need him every day. And every hour. Oh, and I need him in the morning, and I need him in the night, and I need him in the heat of the day when the sun is shining bright. Well, now, if you ever needed the Lord before, you sure do. Truth, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. Oh, but Sunday's a coming, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this. I think this one's an easy one. And I'll stand for Jesus,
let this world go by.
You have your seats. We'll have our ushers to come. You just give unto the Lord, and I know He'll bless your efforts tonight. I think tomorrow, Brother Noah Moat is celebrating his birthday. We wish him a happy birthday. He's probably working tonight, but we still want him to know. So if you're watching, Brother Noah, happy birthday tonight. Amen. Let's sing this. Keep a seat. When I think of how He came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I. And such disgrace, and all Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? Give to you life.
and I don't know what I could have done to deserve God's only Son to fight my battles until.
That a king would bleed and die for. Got up this morning kind of having, you know, them old, what they call the blues. And I said, no. I said, Lord, I thank you for the valley. That song came to me just in time. It said, life can't always be sunshine or the flowers wouldn't bloom. We can't always be happier. We wouldn't pray. So I thank you, Lord, for the valley that I walked through today. Amen. Sister Caden, I think, and Sister Emma have got a song for us tonight. So, and they'll be making their way up to sing. We appreciate it.
There's a day that's drawing near.
And when you plan on doing just that, when you call your name, we're going to rise. Amen. I appreciate that song tonight. All you young people don't have no excuses. We got a little pregnant mama up here singing tonight. Y'all need to say, oh, if she can do it, I can. I love to hear Sister Caden sing, too, because she has one of the most unique voices, I think. I love uniqueness, and that's very unique, and I appreciate her. And Emma, too, I love to hear you girls sing. You got a gifted, talented family there. Amen. Let's stand together tonight as we invite our brother to minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us tonight. Let's sing this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I am a child of the King. His royal.
I was thinking a minute ago about how good a time we had this past weekend, and what a blessing it was to be here, and just the young people had such a great time, and how awesome that was. But even before that, I have to go back to what happened here last Wednesday night. That message Pastor brought last Wednesday, That was one in a million, and I wasn't here. I was ministering back in West Tennessee, and so I couldn't catch it. On the way back home, though, it was about a 3.5-hour drive. I turned on the stream there and was listening, and when Brother Joseph started speaking, the presence of the Lord come in the car where I was at, and I began to weep, and I listened to that whole message in tears, and I said then, I can follow a man like that. And I just appreciated it so much. And so I was thinking how blessed we are here. And how I have a good friend that told me, I didn't even know he knew where this church was. And he told me, he said, Brother George, I tune in to that Murfreesboro church. He said, I tune in every week to hear Brother Mark lead songs.
Lord.
Amen. We got the best of the best, saints. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. I thought, what a testimony to the talent, and the musicians are so talented, and the songs, the specials that we have are so unique. And I was thinking about the sisters that sang Sunday night. What a blessing those specials were. And I was thinking about Brother Pat. I thought, that's the most deaconess deacon I ever seen in my life. And I know when I come in here to minister, You don't know what it means to have a man like that on the other side of the door. I mean, it just completely takes the pressure off of you as a minister, knowing you got somebody that's taking care of you like that. And so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the stand that these minister brothers take here, and I appreciate the stand that our pastor has taken all this time. And I appreciate when I go out and minister at other places and they say, oh, you go to Brother Hammond's church. And it's always positive. There's all compliments about what this church has stood for. And that's a testimony to the grace of God. And so we appreciate things like that, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to be here with brothers and sisters that love the Lord and are believe this message and are called to this way. Amen. And so I think tonight, we'll go ahead while we're standing and read a little portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and we'll read those first six verses just for a little text tonight, and by the help of the Lord, we'll get into something tonight. So, 1 Samuel 30, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now that's just how the devil wants to do it, saints. He doesn't necessarily want to kill you if he doesn't have to. He'd just like to make a slave out of you. If he's got a slave, then he's got a servant. He's got somebody that can spread evil for him. Amen? And so we find then that the Bible goes on and says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Come on, somebody that's ever wept. Until you got no more power to weep. Amen. And if you don't know what that's like, you just have to have been there to know what that's talking about. You cried until you can't cry no more. Amen. You've done all you can do and you just run out of tears. Amen. And that's where they were at. And David's two wives were taken captive, and Anaim the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And God bless you tonight is my prayer. And I just ask you to pray for me and preach with me tonight. Amen. I feel good to be back in the house of the Lord. I told the brothers back there I've worked 12 days in a row, and by God's grace, I'm off tomorrow. So I got plenty of energy left. Amen. So I just want to talk a little background before we get started here. So this little passage of Scripture we read, previous to that, we find that Saul had been anointed the king over all of Israel. Is that right? And Saul had won some victories. He's had some good times, and he'd done some good things. But the Lord came to him one time by the way of Samuel and said, go up against the Amalekites and slay every one of them. Amen. He said, kill all of them. Kill the young, the old, the sons and daughters, the kings, all of them. Take them all out is what the Lord told him to do. And said, burn all the ox, burn all the sheep, kill them all. Get rid of all of it. And Brother Branham said, that's because if you leave one of them, if it's a baby, it'll grow up to be an Amalekite. Amen. So we can't leave any of that around. The Lord told him clearly, don't leave a one. And we find that Saul did almost all that the Lord told him to do. He did most of what God told him to do. But it's not good enough, saints, to do most of what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. The Bible said to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Is that right? And so we find that Saul did most of what the Lord told him to do. And Samuel, the Lord told Samuel, said, go to Saul and tell him I'm taking the kingdom away from him because he disobeyed me. And so he went to Saul, and Saul was kind of proud of what he'd done, and he was kind of boastful about it. And he said, look at here, Samuel, look what I did. I took care of all those Amalekites. And Samuel the prophet said, well, what is it that I'm hearing in my ear? What means all this bleeding of sheep that I'm hearing? And so Saul tried to pass the buck. He said, what happened was, we went in to get all the sheep and slay them, but the people wanted to take the best ones and save them as a sacrifice for you. See, that's the way we try to do it when we try to do what we want to do anyways and then try to blame it on God, try to make it spiritual. Amen. See, Saul kept those sheep because he wanted to keep those sheep. It wasn't because the Lord told him to do it. He wanted to do it. And too many times we're guilty of doing what we want to do and we try to make it spiritual. Too many times we do what we want to do anyways and we try to find a way. You ever tried to buy a car and let's say they wanted $19,500 for it, Brother Pat, and you say, you know what, Lord, if you want me to have this car, let them take $19,450. And then when you get the car, you say, well, praise God, the Lord gave it to me. The Lord didn't give that to you. Anybody took $19,450? Yep. Is that right? Yep. So we do what we want to do. You bought the car because you wanted to buy the car. Right. Amen. Let's not make it spiritual. Right. Amen. If you want to flee something to the Lord, do something unbelievable. Don't do $19,450. Amen. And so Saul did what he wanted to do. He wanted to keep those sheep. He wanted to keep those oxen. And so he said, I'm doing it because I want to sacrifice it unto you. And Samuel said, you know what? It would be better if you'd obeyed, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And he said, rebellion is the same as witchcraft. That's an evil sin to disobey the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so we may not have the Lord speaking lip to ear to us, but we have His Word. Yes. Amen. So we have the written Word of God to obey. Yes. And so we find then that the Spirit of the Lord from that day was taken from Saul. And we find that it was not long after that David had been anointed to be the future king of Israel. And David began to grow in power and in grace and in mercy and in might. And he became a mighty man of valor. And he slew the Philistine giant. He slew Goliath. And all the people, the Bible said that the heart of the people was with David. David became popular in Israel. And the people began to sing songs. And they said, Saul has slew his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And Saul said, whoa, wait a minute now. It was all right when you was playing my harp. Because, you know, David used to go play before the Saul, and the evil spirit of the Lord would leave him when he would play his harp. See, there's power in music, saints. And there's power in getting you in the right atmosphere and in the right spirit, Brother Mark. There's power in that. And so it was all right when he was doing that. But when the people got to singing songs about David, Saul began to get jealous. And he saw that the Spirit of the Lord was with him. And he became jealous of the Spirit of the Lord that was on David. Amen. God help us tonight not to ever get jealous of somebody else's gift. You may not be able to sing like somebody else, but don't be jealous of somebody that can sing. I can't preach like Brother Joseph. I'm not jealous of Brother Joseph. Amen. I'm praying for Brother Joseph. Amen. And so we find that he began to get jealous and he started to seek David's life. And it must have been about five or six times in the Bible that his preferred method of killing David was to try to throw a spear through him. And he tried to do it several times, and David escaped out of his hand every time. And David became very much a man on the run. And he was running from Saul, and he ran from place to place, from place to place. And he ran, and finally he found himself crossing the border to get away from Saul, and he went over on the enemy's ground. And one place where a believer never needs to be is on the enemy's ground. What's that called, Brother Brother Jonathan? Missionary dating, is that what it's called? Where you try to go out on the enemy's ground and get you somebody? Now, I'm not saying people can't be converted, but they need to come to church with you. Don't go out with them.
Right.
Amen. Yes. Bring them here. Hey, we want people to come here.
Yes.
We want people to receive what we have.
Right.
Amen. But don't go out on their ground and don't let them become a bad influence on you.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
We got to watch it at work. We got to watch it at school. We got to watch these things. We're out on the enemy's ground and it has an effect on us. And so David was out there on the enemy's ground, and he became basically a mercenary for this Philistine prince named Achish. He became a mercenary. Excuse me. And he would just basically go around. He didn't have any accountability. He didn't have anybody to answer to. He would just get up one morning and he'd go this way and fight and win and take some land for Achish. And he'd go this way, he'd go north and take some land for Achish. He'd go south, he'd go west. He just got up and did whatever he wanted to every day. But he was in bed with the wrong person. He was in cahoots with the wrong man. And who you socialize with and who you're around has an effect on you. Amen? And so we find in it Achish loved him. Achish is that friend you got that doesn't know the Lord and is not in the message, and they're always nice to you and it's always good, but they always got a little something to say.
That's right.
Yeah. Good thought. Good.
And so David was a mercenary, and brothers and sisters, we find then that eventually, you know, the Philistines and Israel are always going to go to battle against each other. The Philistines were the historic opponent of Israel. And finally one day, the Philistines were set in order to battle against Israel. And David was on the wrong side. David was fighting against his own brothers and sisters. And saints, we'll never get anywhere fighting against our own brothers. We'll never get anywhere fighting against the people of God. Come on, somebody, preach with me tonight. We're never going to get anywhere arguing with our brothers and sisters. We're never going to get anywhere if we're casting stones at other churches and other people. And David was in that predicament. He was fighting the battle, but the battle was against the wrong enemy. It was against his own people. And as long as that goes on, you can't be blessed of the Lord. If you're fighting God's people, you can't be blessed of the Lord. And God didn't call us to be mercenaries for the devil tonight. Amen. And so the first three verses, you'll notice that David was fighting with his brothers and sisters. He was out preparing to fight against his own brothers, the children of Israel. He was preparing to do battle against his own people. And while he was preparing to battle against his own people, the enemy slipped in to his home.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody.
Come on now.
While he was focused on his own people, while he was focused on his own brothers and sisters, the enemy was creeping into his home.
Yeah.
Saints, we don't need to worry about what our brothers and sisters are doing. We got to watch our own home.
Right.
Amen. We got to watch our own children. We got to watch our own people. We got to go. You ever got to go through the house sometimes and do a good old house cleaning?
Amen.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got to go through the house sometimes, Brother Jonathan, get that trash can. And you got to go in there and get some of them games and some of them movies and some of that other stuff and put them right in the trash.
Amen.
You got to keep an eye on your home. And you know what? You can't just do it once. It's a constant cycle. You got to constantly be on patrol, watching your home.
Yes.
Constantly watching your home, watching for the enemy's tactics in your home. And if you're focused on your brothers and sisters, if you're focused on what other people are doing, you're going to miss what the enemy's doing to your home. Amen. So many times people worry about everybody else, they need to be worried about themselves. Is this all right tonight? So they're worried about their enemies, and the enemy slips into Ziklag, the Amalekites. Isn't it funny? It's the same Amalekites that God told Saul to destroy. God told Saul to destroy them. And since Saul disobeyed the Lord, those Amalekites raised back up, and it's these very Amalekites that smote Ziklag, which was David's home. It was the city that the Philistine prince had given. And so you find in the scripture here that David was focused on the wrong thing, and while he was out away trying to fight, he should have been back home protecting his house. And there's a whole lot, brothers and sisters, in the message right now of people looking to other message believers. They're looking, instead of the Holy Spirit, they're looking for guidance from other believers. They're either looking to fight other believers, or they're looking at other believers to copy them. And we can't, number one, fight other believers, and we sure can't copy other believers. Amen. People are looking to other churches for direction. Brothers and sisters, the church is set up for a local pastor. And in Ephesians 4, it lays out the offices. And nowhere in Ephesians 4 does it have a district presbyter. A general overseer. Amen. It's a local assembly, a local pastor, and the church is sovereign in and of itself. And so people get online and they look at all these other preachers preaching to their congregations, but saints, that's for their congregation. We may not have the same issues. We may not have the same needs as another congregation. That's the pastor's job to decide. Come on, somebody. And we've been watching what everybody else is doing. And a pastor shouldn't have influence over another pastor's church. People shouldn't have influence over other churches. This is our church. We got a pastor. Listen to him. Amen. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. While you're worried about what everybody else is doing, the enemy can take over your home. Y'all believe this tonight? We've got a pastor. Or worse yet, if they don't have if it's not people looking to other pastors or looking to other believers, you know, they watch other people and they say, well, it's all right to do it because this brother or this sister did it. Well, it doesn't matter what another brother or sister does. That other brother or sister is not your Holy Ghost. You don't answer to that other brother and sister. You answer to God. Amen. Amen. The pastor can give you the message, but you have to receive it as an individual. It's an individual affair between you and God. Is that what the message said? And so you have to receive what's given. And so we find too many times people looking to other people for their approval. And we can't get approval from other people. And it's just like today, it's even worse. There's a spirit creeping in now where message believers, there's a whole lot of them, don't even want a pastor anymore. They don't want a pastor. That's what they say at home. They don't want to go to church. Amen. What kind of a believer doesn't want to go to church? They don't want to go to church. They want to stay at home and listen to a tape. It's no accountability in that. You know, when I come to church, if I miss a few services, Pat's calling me wanting to know what's going on. There's accountability. Amen. There's accountability in coming to the house of the Lord. Is that right? There's accountability. There's no accountability in staying home. You're not answering to anybody. David was roaming around not answering to nobody. He was going all over the place, and he went over into that Philistine land. If he'd had a pastor there, he wouldn't have been over with that Philistines. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. And so we find people looking at all that. They don't even want a pastor no more. We live in an age where people don't want accountability. Right. Right. They don't want it. Right. I got a sister that goes to the church back home that is a teacher's assistant, and I know we got some teachers in here, and there's no accountability in the school. If the child does good, they get 2 stars. But if they do bad, they get 1 star. Come on. There's no accountability. You know, if I'd have gotten in trouble at school, I'd have seen stars when I got home. My mom and dad whooped me all the time. They never once, Sister Shirley, asked me how it made me feel. They didn't care because I needed it. It's accountability. And there's no accountability. I had a young man that I dearly loved, and he was a smart young man. He was the valedictorian of his school. But they would not let him graduate as valedictorian because it might make the other students feel bad. So they didn't have that. They said like the top 20% or something. You know what? If they wanted to be valedictorian, they should have been smarter. You shouldn't punish somebody that studies hard, works hard, and does all they can to be as good as they can be, and you're going to punish them so everybody else can be lazy. Amen. We don't get participation trophies in life, saints. You know what? If you want to win the race, if you're sad because you lost, you should have run faster. Come on, somebody. There's losers in life. That's a good lesson. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. Amen. That's a good life lesson. But we don't want accountability. We don't want accountability. There's no accountability. There's no accountability at work. Because if you don't want to work, you can just stay home and draw a check. There's no accountability in a man to be a husband to provide for his family because he can just send his wife out to make a living for him. There's no accountability for a woman to raise her family because if she doesn't want to do that, she can just go get a job and pay somebody else to raise them. There's just no accountability. We'll get in trouble tonight. I bet Pastor's streaming too. Might be my last sermon here. There's no accountability in society because you can't offend nobody. The only person that can be offended is you, a Christian. You're the only one that can be offended. Now, nobody else can be offended. No other perversion, no other anything can be offended, but they can offend you. But you can't offend nobody. Amen? And so we find there's none in the church. You can just stay home. If you don't like what the preacher's preaching, you just stay home and stream. But that's not the way God set it up. That's not what God called us to do. That's not the blueprint that was laid in Ephesians 4. Y'all believe that? Do y'all understand what we're doing here tonight, saints? You understand this is the program of God? And we come to assemble in the house of God, and we come to worship God, and we come to sing praises to Him, and we come to hear this word tonight and every night. And it's accountability. See, when you just stay home and listen to tapes, it's easy to say, boy, Brother Branham sure tore them up. I'm glad he didn't get me. Amen. Boy, Brother Branham sure called them out. They sure needed to hear that. But see, when it's right in your face, it's accountability. Amen? Y'all believe that this is the program of God tonight? I grabbed it. Brothers, I don't have this. Sisters back there, I didn't send you these. I grabbed them on the way out. But I want to read you something here. I just want to solidify what we're doing here, what the reason for us coming is. And we find that Brother Branham says this. He says, God has set some in the church to be teachers and some for different gifts, some prophets and different things. He set them in the church for the perfection of the church. You all believe that, don't you? You're taught that. That's the scripture. We might try to say it's for some other day, but we're only trying to hide behind our unbelief. See, there's a dogma going around that there shouldn't be no preaching no more. We should only listen to the message. There should be no preaching. Well, I believe in listening to the message. I also believe in doing what the message says do. I believe we should listen to the message and then go do what it says.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why I'm up here preaching tonight, because he said do it.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't believe that, you're only trying to say it's for some other day. He said, you're trying to hide behind your own unbelief. Because
right.
I'm quoting you the word right here. And he says, but we're only trying to hide behind our unbelief. God's word never changes. It doesn't alter. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
See, Paul set it in order, and he said that's the blueprint. Paul set up the churches. Paul wrote the letters to the church, to the local pastors. Is that right?
Yep.
You know what we call that? The Bible.
Right.
It's Paul's letters to the churches. Is that right?
Yep.
That's the program. Amen?
Amen.
Resurrection of Jairus' daughter. He set some in the church, teachers, apostles, prophets, gifts of healings, working of miracles, and all those things are set in the church. Do you believe that? He said, I never did say where they'd be set out of the church.
Right.
Now let me ask you something, saints. Have we missed the rapture?
No.
You think we missed the rapture?
No.
I'd like to think the bride knows enough about the Spirit of God to know when the Spirit of God is here or not. Amen. And so you know why the world will keep going on and not know that the rapture happened? Because they don't know nothing about the Spirit of God anyways.
That's right.
But the bride knows the Spirit of God, and the bride knows that the Spirit of God is still moving.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And he said he set them in the church for the perfecting of the church to be in the church until he comes again.
Amen.
So as long as we hadn't been raptured out of here, then these gifts are still in operation in the church.
Right.
Is that right? Can we go deeper into that? People don't want this because there's no accountability. If you don't have to come to church, if you don't have to sit under a ministry, there's no accountability. And that's what the world wants right now. No accountability. Y'all believe this? Go tell. Brother Branham says this. God never sent a man lest he give him something to say. Is that right? I'm reading quotes, saints. Y'all believe this?
Amen.
Brother Brown says this in the voice of the sign. He said, as long as there's apostles, there has to be a prophet. As long as there's a prophet, there has to be an evangelist. Why is it ministers say there's no pastors and evangelists, but there's no prophets? See, that's picking what you want to make it say something it doesn't. Picking what you want to make it say something it doesn't. See, we're guilty as believers of having personal preference. And our personal preference is what we really like. And what we like to do is take our personal preference and we like to find the quotes that go along with what our preference is. We like to include quotes that fit our agenda. Amen? And we make doctrines out of our personal preference. But saints, we can't just take a few quotes. We can't just take part of the message. Saul did part of what the Lord told him to do. But we got to take all that the prophet spoke about and run it through from 47 to 65 and make sure it all lines up. Amen. So we're guilty of personal preference. And we make that doctrine. But it's not doctrine, saints. That's our personal preference. And so we find in the fourth verse here, let's move ahead, that David come back home and he found his home in shambles. The city that he lived in, Ziklag. While he had been away trying to fight against his own people, the enemy moved into his home and burned it with fire. And took away all of his sheep and oxen, took away all of his wives and all the children. He took them all away, carried everything that he had away. And when he come back home, he didn't have anything left. Now, I know we've all got some battles, but you got to admit, saints, this is a bad day. This is a huge hurdle. This is a big struggle. I doubt if any of us has ever walked into something like this. And here's the Best example I know of. And David and his men, they'd lost everything. And they wept, the Bible said, until they had no more power to weep. Y'all know what that's like? To weep until you got no more power to weep. And the sixth verse says, David was greatly distressed. Can we put that up on the board? 1 Samuel 30 and 6. And David was greatly distressed, the Bible said. And the people were talking about stoning him. The people that he had been leading, the people that he had been in charge of, the people that wanted him to be king were talking about stoning him. And you know, saints, sometimes when you walk this pilgrim way, you're going to have a lot of people around you, but when the chips are down, as Brother Branham said, sometimes you're going to look around and find that you're all by yourself. Sometimes you find just you and the Lord. But well, let me tell you this, I'll assure you, you and the Lord is enough. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight, him. You and the Lord. You and the Lord is plenty. But sometimes your family will turn on you. Your friends will turn on you. Amen. Sometimes the people that are closest to you will turn on you. Amen. And you'll find yourself all alone. It's just you and the Lord. You got to stay with what the Lord showed you. Stand on it if you got to stand by yourself. Stand on it anyways. See, sometimes you'll see something before somebody else does. Sometimes you'll see it before somebody else does. It just takes others a while to catch up sometimes. And so it might feel like you're all by yourself, but you're not. As long as you're in the Lord's will. So David was walking this way and he found himself all alone and everybody that he had was either gone or trying to kill him. That's the shape David was in. And I don't want you to be too critical on those people because they were just emotional. They were just upset. And sometimes when people are upset, come on somebody, they say things they don't mean to say. They do things that they don't mean to do. Come on, anybody that said something you didn't want to say. Said something you didn't mean. Done something you shouldn't have done. You're just emotional. You're just upset and you're acting out of impulse. You're acting out of emotion. And those people were just acting out of emotion. See, when you're emotional, you're not rational. Amen. You ever get tired? And when you get tired, the molehills seem like mountains because you're tired. I see you mamas doing it all the time. You walk through, oh, my Lord, at that pile of clothes. I'm never going to get all these clothes washed. It's just a pile of clothes. Go to bed. Go to bed. Get back up in the morning. You can recognize it's just a pile of clothes. Amen. It's not that big a deal. Somebody left a glass of tea out. It ain't no big deal. Just put it to sink. Amen. We ain't got to make a mountain out of it. You were just tired. Emotional. And that's where they were at. They were upset. And we got to have grace for brothers and sisters, saints. You know, we never know what people go through before they come in these church doors. You know what? Praise God, they're here. Amen. They might not have had a good day. It might have been a battle to get here. And they might not come in with a smiling face on. But by the grace of God, they made it here. That's the best place they could come. If you'll leave them alone a minute, they might get to feeling better. Amen. Sometimes on Wednesday nights you're coming in on two wheels. It's all right. It's okay. It's all right to have a bad day. If someone snaps a little bit, let's have a little grace, all right? Let's just say they probably just upset. They probably just had a bad day. Let's have a little grace. Amen. Don't get in our feelings. Amen. And they snap and you start snapping back. It probably ain't got nothing to do with you. Amen. A dog just got run over. We think they're mad at us. Something bad happened at work. Something happened at home. We never know what people go through in their homes. People don't tell you everything. You don't know everything going on in everybody's life. But trust me, everybody's going through it. That person on your left and on your right, they might look like they're all right, but they're hurting somewhere. Everybody is. We don't belong here. This ain't our home. Amen. You're going to have a tough time here because you don't belong here. Amen. And as long as you're here, you're going to have a tough time. But let's have a little grace for one another. Have a little mercy. Even if it is you, you probably deserve it. Now, there's a difference, though. Some people, saints, just love to be upset. They love it. They want to be upset. Nothing you can do about it. Don't try to fix it. Some people love to be upset. Some people love the drama. They love the attention. Some people love it. Nothing you can do about it. No matter what you try to do to fix it, they're still going to be upset. Don't worry about it. Now, when I said that, every one of you thought of somebody. Come on now. Every one of y'all thought of somebody. They sure are. They sure are upset. All the time. Ain't nothing you can do. Spend my life trying to please them. It ain't going to do no good. Let me ask you this, though. Did anybody think of you? Did you enter in anybody's mind? Last time. I'm going to get to preach here, Brother Pat. Y'all love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have a little grace. The Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Right. If somebody done something to you, it's not the end of the world. You done a whole lot to everybody else.
Right.
You've been forgiven of a whole lot of more you've been wronged against. Is that right?
Absolutely.
I've been forgiven of a whole lot more than what I've been wronged against.
Amen.
I can't just worry about how everybody's done me wrong all the time.
Amen.
We've got to let that stuff go. It's not holding anybody back but you. Amen. If you worry about everybody doing you wrong, you're worried about the wrong thing. Let's just worry about doing right.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, they got it. They got to ask me. They got to ask me for to be forgiven. They don't have to ask you for you to forgive them.
Amen.
If you're waiting on somebody to ask you for forgiveness, you're going to be waiting the rest of your life.
Amen.
Forgive them and go on.
Amen.
It ain't no, you know what? You got to forgive them, not for them, for you.
Amen.
It's holding you back. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, saints. I know.
Amen.
I know. Brother Branham says, be kind to one another.
Yes,
be kind to your enemies.
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
Yes,
love everybody.
Yes.
No matter what they've done, love them anyhow.
Amen.
And if you can't do that, brother, sister, if there ever was a time that you need an altar, it's then. Now, that's strong meat, saints. That's the word became flesh. Inspiration, the message inspiration, Brother Bram said in first, anything we ought to be is kind to one another. When you see a brother or sister in fault, don't never breathe it to nobody. Notice, he said, don't never breathe it to nobody. He did not say, go tell the whole church. Don't ever breathe to nobody. Keep it to yourself and pray for that person. Be kind to them. And if the Spirit of God is in you, then you will be kind to one another.
Amen.
You never get nowhere fighting against one another.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. And so the Bible says this, back to David. The Bible says this, that in the midst of it all, David, who had lost everything, David, who was standing by himself. David, who didn't know where his next meal was coming from, who didn't know what step was next, whose all of his friends had turned against him, who's lost all of his possessions, had lost his family. David, the Bible said, encouraged himself in the Lord. Yeah. It's okay to have a bad day. It's all right to have a tough time. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself a little bit. Elijah did it. Y'all remember Elijah was down in the dumps. He said, oh, I'm the only one left. I'm the only believer in the whole willy-wide world. Is that what he said? I'm the only one left. But we find out there was 7,000 others that hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. He wasn't the only one. He just felt like that. And you're not the only one going through it tonight. It just feels like that sometimes. Amen. Amen? There's people all over going through exactly what you're going through. Better yet, there's people all over that's been delivered of exactly the situation. Amen. Amen. We got such a great cloud of witnesses of what God's done for people just like you in the same situation you're in. And it's okay to feel sorry for yourself for a minute, but there comes a point in time where you got to get sick and tired, Brother Mark, of being sick and tired. Yeah. Amen. You got to get tired of feeling sorry for yourself, and you got to shake yourself. Yeah. Yep. And say, I've had enough of it. I'm a child of God. I'm a believer in Malachi 4. God put me here to be an overcomer, to be a conqueror. And I'm going to do what God called me to do. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And we find it's not anybody else's job to have to encourage you. Come on. It's not. It's not the pastor's job to encourage you. It's his job to feed you. Yeah. You got to eat, though. Yeah. He can feed you, but you got to do the eating. Yeah. He can preach the word, but you got to receive it. Amen. Amen. God can give you the word, but you have to believe it. Amen. Is that right, saints? And it's not the church's job to encourage you, although we get encouraged at church. We get motivation at church, but that's not our job. It's not your brothers and sisters' job to encourage you. You ever miss church and start feeling bad because ain't nobody called to check on you? Don't nobody care about me. Nobody called me. Nobody checked on me. Well, you know what? Come to church if you don't see everybody. Amen? It's not anybody else's job. I mean, when you see people gone, do you call and check on them every time? Right? You figure something, they're probably busy. Probably something going on. Amen. But we don't do it for others, but we expect it done for us so many times. Is this right tonight, sir?
Come on.
And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we find there's a specific way that he went about doing it. We get that 7th and 8th verse. We find that there's a specific way David went about encouraging himself. We say, hey, encourage yourself. Well, that's great, Brother George. How do I do that? How do I make that happen? You know, I'm down, I'm downtrodden, I'm in a bad way, but how do I encourage myself? Well, David showed you how to do it in the Scripture. 7th and 8th verse, 1 Samuel 37 and 8. David, the Bible said to Abiathar the priest. The first thing you notice that David did right here was call for his pastor. Now, a lot of times people don't want a pastor until trouble strikes. And it's the first one they call whining about it. Is that right? If you'd done what he said before he said it, it might not have been the trouble you're in. Amen? But I want you to notice, David said there, bring me the ephod. Now, the ephod was the garment that the high priest wore. The ephod was it was like an apron that the high priest wore. And on that garment was a breastplate. And on that breastplate was the 12 stones, one that represented each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And those 12 stones, Brother Branham called the Urim of Thummim. And he said in the Old Testament, if they wanted to see what the Lord had to say, they'd take it before the Urim, and the Urim, if it was the truth, would reflect it. Amen. And it would show whether it was the truth or not. And we don't have that today. But Brother Branham said we do have the Word of God. Our Urim and Thummim is the Word of God for our day. So see, the first thing David did to see whether to encourage himself was check it with the Word.
Yeah.
Amen. The first thing he did was look to see what God's Word said about it. And so many times saints were downtrodden, were discouraged, but we haven't been reading our Bible. We hadn't been studying God's Word. We hadn't been coming to church like we should. And when you start doing all those things and you're not getting the Word of God in your life, the Bible, or Brother Branham said that the Holy Spirit feeds on the Word of God. And so if you want to feed the Holy Spirit in your life, if you want to be encouraged, feed the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you feed the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. Is that right?
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Feed it with the Word.
Amen.
And you know, you can't do that without showing up.
Amen.
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 And so he called for the priest and he looked at the breastplate and he found out what the Word of the Lord said. Brother Branham said, and ashamed, he said, but my point was this. When you know you're trying to do what's right, the first thing is if you feel led to do anything, check it with the Word and see if it's with the Word, and then let nothing stop you. I don't care how many wheels the devil throws in your way, just move right over the top of them, he said. Amen? He said, the very first thing is check it with the Word. And the second thing you'll notice in that scripture that David did, the Bible said David inquired of the Lord. David went to prayer. Is that right? The first thing he did was see what the Word said about it. The second thing he did was talk to the Lord about it. David inquired of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we don't do enough inquiring before we make decisions.
Amen.
We don't do enough inquiring before we make decisions. David inquired of the Lord. Brother Brown says, and if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer?
Amen.
Much time in prayer. And if you only knew what time in prayer meant, I love this quote, saints. What sometimes when you're in prayer, God changes the complete destination of different things that's going to happen. Do you believe that? He says. Amen. When you go to prayer, Brother Brent said, sometimes God changes the complete destination of something that's going to happen. We don't have any idea how much impact our prayers have, saints. We don't know how many people might have been in a car wreck, but our prayer interceded for them. We don't know how many people might have got in trouble, might have made a bad decision, but our prayer interceded for them. God can change the whole destination. That person was going to make a bad decision, but God put it on your heart to pray for them, and it changed the whole destination. Wonderful. Brother Branham said it in Tyson Spirits. He said, come give God all you got. Say, God, I ain't got very much. I'm just a little housewife. I can't do very much, Lord. But I can read your Bible. I can pray every day. I can throw out all the trash that's in my mind. I can throw all of that stuff out.
Amen.
Just like David, you want to be encouraged, read your Bible and pray.
Yes.
Hear the message and pray. Come to church and pray.
Amen.
To encourage yourself in the Lord. Y'all believe this tonight?
Amen.
And the next thing that David did, you'll notice, David didn't just find out what the Lord said about it and say, well, that's really good. David put God's word into action.
Amen.
The message said hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word of God.
Amen.
It's not good enough to hear what the word of God says. We got to act upon what it said.
Amen.
Amen. And David put that word into action. We got to put our faith into action. And too many times we have a clear-cut decision from God, and we don't do anything with it. Too many times we consult the Lord for His will and we don't do anything after we understand it. See, saints, sometimes you don't even have to pray. You don't have to ask the Lord if it's His will to heal you. It is His will for you to be healed. You just got to put it in action. You don't have to say, Lord, is it your will for me to be saved? Look at the length God went to save you. It is His will. Receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Act upon it. Put your faith into action. Brother Bram said in the uncertain sound, he said, if one church says do this, other church says do that, and one church says do this, and the other one says do that, how can the Christian know what to do? One says one thing, one another, but I'll tell you, my dear brother, I'll tell you a place where there's no uncertain sound, that's in the Bible. God's eternal word, it's the gospel, and the gospel is the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit put in action.
Amen.
I love this, saints. David heard what the Lord told him to do. The Lord told him, go on back and get it. Go get back everything that the enemy stole from you. Is that what he told him to do?
Yep.
He said, go do it. Go take it back. But see, if David said, well, thank you, Lord, for that, and he never did anything about it, he'd still have nothing. But the Lord told him what to do, and then he put it in action. He went and did it.
Amen.
What an example. And David, the Bible said, he chased down that bunch of Amalekites. I like that. We don't be afraid, saints. We got nothing to be afraid of. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Bram said, I got multiple quotes. Brother Bram said, the devil is whipped.
Yes.
And we're the bride of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we got to get on the offensive instead of being defensive all the time. Amen. Sometimes instead of just sitting around hoping the devil don't do nothing to us. Amen. We got to go out after him and slay him before he gets a chance to.
Yes.
Amen. We got to stop it when we see it rising up.
Yes.
Get on the offensive a little bit. And the Bible said the 16th verse, that 30, chapter 30, verse 16, it said that he walked down, or he found where the enemy was camped out, this bunch of Amalekites, this bunch of devils that had come and taken everything that he had, and he found where they had camped out at. He found what they were doing, and when he come upon them, he looked down over that valley, and he saw what they were doing. He said they were dancing and singing, and they was having a good time. Because of what they'd done to him. They was having a good time because they took all his stuff. And they was having a good time because they took his children and his wives and his sons and his daughters. And they having a good time. And saints, sometimes when you're losing a battle, sometimes when it feels like you're lost, sometimes when it feels like your home's in disarray, and you know the enemy's having a good time.
Yeah.
And the devil's having rejoicing at your expense.
Yep.
Amen. Sometimes your righteous indignation has got to get riled up. Amen. Your righteous indignation's got to get riled up. Say, devil, I don't know who you think you are. But I'll tell you who I am.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And I come to win today.
Yeah.
Amen. I come to win. I wasn't put here to lose. I was put here to win. The Bible said it's to him that overcometh. That's me. I am him that overcomes.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. And the Bible said that David, 17th verse, he started smiting that bunch of Amalekite devils, and he smote devils from the twilight of one day to the evening of the next day. See, when you get your hands on the devil, don't you let your hands off his throat.
Right.
Amen. He started smiting the Amalekites, brothers and sisters. You couldn't make him stop. Couldn't make him stop. See, the devil messed with the wrong man this time as the musicians come. Can we get the musicians up? The devil messed with the wrong man this time. He made a mistake when he picked on David. And he's making a mistake when he tries to mess with you tonight. Amen. And David started smiting them devils. And he smote them devils from the twilight of one day until the evening of the next day. He just constantly smiting them devils. And they tried to make him stop. They said, David, don't you see what they just posted bad about you on Facebook? He said, I ain't got no time. I'm fighting all these devils. Amen. Amen. They said, David, you don't have to go to church no more. You can stay home and stream. He said, I ain't got no time for that. I'm killing these devils. Amen. They said, David, you see what this brother said bad about you? He said, I ain't got no time. I'm killing these devils. You see what this other church is doing, David? He said, I ain't got no time. I'm killing these devils.
Amen.
Is that right, saints?
Amen.
And he started smiting those Amalekites, and he did not stop until the job was done. And the Bible said that David recovered all that the enemy took from him. Every bit of it, saints. Let me tell you something. If there was five biscuits on the table, he got all five of them biscuits back.
Amen.
Amen. If there was two loaves of bread in the kitchen, he got both them loaves of bread back. Amen. If there was 31 sheep, they counted them out. They got all 31 of them back. David recovered all that the enemy took from him. David recovered all. And not only did David recover all, but David also took all their stuff back with him. He didn't just beat the devil. He took all of his stuff back. And you know, Jesus didn't just beat the devil. He took the keys from hell, death, hell, and the grave back with him. Amen? See, when God delivers you from something, he don't just restore you back to what you was. He makes you better because you've been through it. Amen? He don't just restore most of your stuff. He don't just restore 99% of your stuff. He gives you 110 back. He gives you the increase. You know, David took that increase and sent it back to the children of Israel and was reconciled that day to the children of Israel. See, God used a bad situation and used it for his honor and glory. Amen. Y'all love the Lord tonight? Every time. Took back what the devil stole from him. David recovered all. Jesus took five biscuits and two loaves of bread. He fed 5,000 women and children, plus women and children. And they had to take up 12 basketfuls of fragments afterwards. It's always more. God does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask for. Amen. Let's just bow. Heavenly Father, Lord, it has been a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, we're thankful for these brothers and sisters of like precious faith. We're thankful tonight, Lord, that we got these great testimonies, Lord, that we can lean on. And we can see of men like David. We can see men that have overcome obstacles and fought fiery trials and come out on the other side better. We see how you've worked in their lives, and we know you're working in ours today. And Lord, I just pray that the saints of God tonight take courage and encourage themselves in the Lord. We're on the winning side tonight, Lord. We're on the winning team tonight, Lord. There's no question about that. We don't have to be discouraged. We can be encouraged, knowing that the end is near and we're coming out ahead. And Lord, we just pray tonight you'd help us, Lord. I just pray that something was said to be a help to the bride tonight. And Lord, we just love your word, and we love these brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And now we pray, Lord, you just meet each need that's represented here. Lord, meet each request that was brought forth. Lord, you know our hearts. You know all we have need of, Lord, tonight. And Lord, we know that even in our trials and even in our battles, Lord, we know that you're making it all right, Lord, that making it all come out just exactly like it should. We believe things are happening just exactly the way they should. And we love you and we thank you and we give you praise and honor for your word. Bless our pastor tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just pray you'd be with him and give him traveling mercies, Lord. And Lord, bless the congregation, the church. And Lord, Sunday's coming, Lord. We're looking forward to it, Father. Sunday's coming, Lord. The devil's had his way with our lives, but Sunday's coming, Lord. Lord, and we know we'll receive it, Lord. We know we'll receive a mighty rich blessing from you, Father. And we ask you that your hand would be upon us. Go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Mark.
Let's all stand together. appreciate the word of God.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to our brother George.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Treaded in some deep water there, brother. Without fear or favor of man. I appreciate that so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors.
Overcomers.
Overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing that with me.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood. Through the blood.
It don't matter what circumstance you find yourself in. There's a biblical example that shows there was somebody there before. So if you're there now, then the same thing will come out of it. You know, I love the scripture, Brother George. I appreciate it so much. But he thought he told him to kill. He told Saul to kill all of them Amorites. And he left some. And they come back and they thought they did unto the children of Israel what God had told him to do to him. And the devil thinks he's got you. The devil thinks he stole your joy. He thinks he stole your peace. He thinks he stole your victory. He thinks he stole your healing. But what he didn't know, Sunday's coming. What he didn't know, God's on the rise again. And there's a bride that's going to take this word and is going to go into eternity. Did you appreciate that tonight? Amen. As we dismiss our online audience, sing again. Amen. Let's just worship him for a moment.
Oh, you're my brother, you're